The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
For our scripture lesson, we turn to the prophecy of Zechariah, the third chapter, Zechariah 3. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested against unto Joshua, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I shall call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. Zechariah the prophet was sent to Jerusalem after the Jews had gone back from Babylon to encourage them to rebuild the temple. They were greatly discouraged, this little tiny bit of a group, for they couldn't build alone this temple. And they had the offer of the Samaritans, the modernists and the Bardians of the day, to help them. Why not build together? We all serve the same God, do we not? There is only one God, and we are all His people. Men to be men, says Bart, are in Christ. And that's what the Samaritans said already in their day. In my town, I saw a sign some time ago. If you drink what a fish drinks, be sure. If you drink like a fish drinks, be sure you drink what the fish drinks. Now that's the gospel of our day. That was the gospel of that day. That there was no difference between any of the religions of the world. And yet, Jehovah told his people that they must build the temple, not accept any help from the Samaritans or anyone else. And if they didn't do it, woe be unto them. And so they were afraid to do this thing which they had been told to do. But the Lord told them not to be afraid. In the first vision, in the first chapter, the angel of the Lord prays for this people. O Lord God, how long wilt thou not have mercy upon Jerusalem and upon the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And when the angel of the Lord prays for his people, they are safe from all the opposition of the world. Fear not, little flock. It is the will of the Father to give unto you the kingdom. And then in the second chapter, we have the vision of the four horns. They come to crush the nation, this little tiny bit of the people of God, from every side. As formerly the whole world sat still and was at rest in preparation for a common attack at a notice on His Majesty Satan's signal, so now these four horns are ready to destroy. All of a sudden, from east and west and north and south, they will crush this people. There won't be anything left of them on earth. But do not be afraid, little flock. It is the will of the Heavenly Father to give unto you the kingdom. For there are four carpenters, and what come they to do? They come to destroy those horns. No external opposition can stop the progress of the people of God so long as they are faithful to His covenant and to His requirements. But then comes the figure of Joshua, the high priest, and that's a totally different matter. That's something they must be afraid of. Here was the specially chosen people of God to be a light in the world. On the Day of Atonement, the great Day of Atonement, their priest, not their priest, but their high priest, would go into, through this temple, and into the Holy of Holies, and he would present the blood of atonement that he had taken from the altar in the court and sprinkle it for the remission of his own sins as well as for the sins of the people. And then they would be forgiven, and he would come out, and the Lord bless thee and keep thee and cause His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. That's what these people, this covenant people, had been accustomed to seeing now. And he had a fair mitre on his head, and he had absolutely pure white garments around his shoulders, this high priest Joshua. And now Joshua wears filthy clothing. This people, which Joshua represents, have not fulfilled the covenant. They have sinned. They stand here before the angel of the Lord. This angel of the Lord is called the angel of the covenant. And they have broken the covenant that God had made with Abraham. They had not destroyed the Amalekites when they had been told to do so. They had not recognized the fact that it was God, their covenant God, that had split open the Red Sea and caused them to fly, go through dry shod, and to drown Pharaoh and his host dead as a stone. They had not destroyed the Amalekites as they were told to do. And most of all, they had not listened and believed that God would make the powers of nature subordinate to the principles of grace. They didn't believe God would make the sun to stand still at Joshua's behest. And they listened to that miserable servant of Satan when he told Balaam, Balak, that he must make his people intermarry with the nation of Israel. Just as before the flood, the descendants of Seth intermarried with the descendants of Cain, and there was no more line of distinction between the two people. One people with one religion of one God, which was an idol, which was not the living God. It was this God that Joshua now represents instead of the true God, the God of Abraham, the God of the covenant. The Lord calls him the angel of the face. My face is in him. If you insult him, you insult me to the face. They had insulted their covenant God to the face in not believing all these things, in not acting upon them, in compromising with the nations of the world. The angel of the covenant, the angel of the face, he is the angel of the Lord, and he is Joshua's judge. Poor, poor Joshua. Has he got something to say for him? He hadn't heard of evolution, unfortunately. But he had heard, and they had assumed that all the religions of the world were the same. And so, but he said nothing. All the silence of a covenant child of God that makes no effort whatsoever to offer any excuse for his breaking of the covenant, for his insulting of God to the face, and for his opposing the progress of the angel of the Lord. And then who is this angel of Jehovah further? Can he be bribed? Can you put a few $20 bills under the rug when he sits there on his pedestal judging? No, he can't be bribed. He is the angel of the face. He has seen individually every falsification, everything that was compromised of every individual, of the nation of a whole. He was aware of this. He could not be bribed, and he didn't even attempt. And then there's Satan at his right hand. He is the prosecuting attorney, where somebody should stand to defend if there was not by Joshua himself, if somebody else, some lawyer, had something possibly to say in behalf of Joshua and this people. But what Satan said was true. The father of lies spoke truth and nothing but the truth that day. There wasn't anything else that would count with this judge. Your Majesty, Your Honor, you remember all of this. I've just gone over it. The long speech he held, and much longer than I'll have today. And it was all true. And that's why Joshua wore filthy garments, and there was no excuse for him. But then we read that the judge, this angel of the Lord, says to Satan, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan. Get thee hence. You think you're entitled to take Joshua and this people with you to hell? I say, go to hell yourself alone with all your servants. The Lord rebuked thee." The Lord had rebuked the Red Sea to open it up, to let his people go through into the promised land. The Lord had rebuked the sun so it would stand still. The Lord had rebuked the Jordan so that it would split in twain. Joseph, can you swim across that Jordan? Even Joe can't do it, and Mary can't do it. Well, our God is a different God. They were told that this pile of stones had been taken out of the bottom of this Jordan, that their covenant God had brought them through dry shod. This was a symbol of what their God does. The other gods are dead as doornails. Our God is the God who has made the heavens and the earth, and who controls them, and who makes all things of nature subservient to the progress of his people. And now then, Satan has finished, and he sums up his case. "Your Majesty, this man belongs to me." But the Lord says, the Lord rebuke thee, henaus, get you hence, Satan. You have no claim against this man. You have no claim against this people. I know he wears filthy garments, but I am telling them to put a fair mitre on his head and to take off those filthy garments and put a white robe around him, because the branch is coming, the one that has been promised to this people. He's on the way. Soon he will be here, and he will accomplish the forgiveness of the sins of this people. He has accomplished it and will accomplish it. And that's the story for us today. We are as those that are wearing filthy garments. We are God's chosen people. We have been redeemed by his blood, but we've not lived up to it. And we've been unfaithful to the angel of the covenant, the angel of the face, the angel of the Lord. Sin is the problem, not external opposition. There were those, when Westminster Seminary first began, that predicted it wouldn't last more than 5 or 10 years. Externals have not held us back. We thank God for all those who have labored so diligently to make this building a reality. We thank God for those who have given so generously so as to make this building a reality. But we plead with God for his mercy, that as we meet in this auditorium day by day, and as we take our instruction and give our instructions in the classrooms on the side of this auditorium, that we may be those who will have in Christ righteousness, trusting in His righteousness alone, and that we will be true to St. Augustine, true to Martin Luther, true to John Calvin, true to J. Gresham Machen, as they in their day did what they should do, and as what we in our day should do, over against this unbelief, this generality, if you drink like a fish drinks, be sure you drink what he drinks. It is against that which we are called upon and brought into a very existence, that we should proclaim the sovereign grace of God alone, His condescending grace, whereby He has taken us out of the depths of sin and of iniquity, that we should plead, that we should be like the high, on the basis of the high priestly work of Jesus Christ, forgiven because of His atoning death on the cross, that we should listen in the classroom to the great prophet who speaks through the prophets and through the faculty and through all of us, and that we should have our souls subdued to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords until Jesus comes again and makes a newer building which will make this one old and defunct. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this occasion. We thank Thee for bringing us to this point. We are undeserving of it. Thou dwellest in light that no man can approach unto, but Thou dwellest also in humble and in contrite hearts, which Thou hast prepared to be Thy dwelling place. O Lord, our God, do Thou in this our day, even through us at this place, and partly by means of this building, be true prophets, true kings, and true prophets and kings and priests under Christ, the great high priest, the great king, and the great prophet. Dismiss us with Thy benediction, grant us Thy grace, and may we look forward to the day. Portray to us in the book of Revelation when He sits upon the throne and with a fair mitre on His head, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the 24 elders, the Church of Jesus Christ of all ages, casting their crowns before Him, the Lamb that was slain, when Satan shall be defeated, when sin shall have gone, and the results of sin and evil and sickness and sorrow and disease shall be no more. Hear us from heaven, Thy dwelling place, and answer us, not for merits of ours, but for Jesus, our Savior's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.